You're listening to your MBA podcast with Larry O'Brien.
Okay, Happy New Year.
Happy lockdown year. This year.
Before the show, you said you wanted to ask me a very serious question. The answer is yes. Yes, you can put Antonio Brown in your circle of honor now. I won't judge you. Go ahead. Go ahead, Kay. Just add him there. Why not?
First of all, it's called a ring of honor.
Okay, whatever. A ring of honor.
I am afraid that this latest outburst might affect his Hall of Fame chances.
What's another rapist in your ring of honor? Why not?
Jesus. You know, I don't like the accusations, actually. I think he's... Yeah, he's gone. It's done. Like, I don't want to dwell on it too much, to be honest.
Do you want to talk about this? Do you want to release a statement?
Nah, not really.
About what happened?
I mean, just say like, yeah. He's a talented wide receiver for the Bucs. We're talking about the NFL. Sorry, at the top, very quickly. He was a talented wide receiver, really good. Had good chemistry with Tom Brady, but just inexplicably walked off the field. While they were on offense, the coach asked him to enter the game. He refused and then told him to fuck off. And then he promptly took off his pads, took off his jersey, threw his gloves and...
Took off his shirt.
Other sort of gear into the crowd. He was shirtless and just walked off in the tunnel. And then there was like a picture of him like waiting for an Uber because it was in New York. They were playing against the Jets in New York. And it was like someone snapped a pic of him on the street waiting for an Uber, I guess, to pick him up. Because I guess at that point he knew that outburst meant that he wasn't gonna return to the Buccaneers. And
at least this wasn't your other ring of honoree Jameis Winston calling the Uber.
Yeah. Well, who knows? That story might surface tomorrow.
He's probably banned from the app.
All right. All right.
Can you imagine that?
He has a one-star rating.
Because you know, like in the States, unlike in Australia, people get sitting in the back seat of their Ubers, right? So to be assaulting your Uber driver, you literally would have to be like reaching up from the back of the car, from the back seat to grope them.
I think like with these really highly paid NFL or NBA players, they probably just have private drivers. Or the team will send private drivers. But I guess the team didn't care about him anymore. So they just like, get your own way to the, like fly your own plane, like get your own flight back to Tampa. Like we don't give a shit, you know, so.
I agree with you. His career is over. No one's going to pick him up again. This is already damaged goods. Between this, the latest outburst, and the fact that he falsified his COVID vaccination card, and his past history, like
which he didn't have to. He was vaccinated. He was actually vaccinated, but for some reason, he also decided to fake a vax card, which is just insane.
Well, clearly, this person has mental issues, and we kind of suspected that even before, right?
Yeah, we don't have to joke about that either. That might be legit too, so we can gloss over that.
I think it's worth mentioning that he threw away potentially like almost close to $1 million in. Achievement bonus, performance bonuses.
Yeah, you're right about that.
I think he's only five catches.
Yeah, in a nutshell, very achievable numbers because there's two games left. And people on Reddit was joking like because he wasn't enjoying he didn't like the plays that they were running for him, Antonio Bryant. And because the plays that were running weren't things that would net his incentives, that he was upset. But people were joking that he probably thought that this was the last game. So he was upset that, you know, they were purposefully right. But he didn't realize it's still another game to go. There's still two games to go. And that they're like, you know, if he had known there was two games to go, those targets for those incentives and those bonuses for, like you said, $1 million, very achievable for his role in the team. He's the number one wide receiver for the team. And gets the most targets from Brady because they just have such a special chemistry for whatever reason. Tom Brady really likes Antonio Bryant.
It's Antonio Brown.
Brown, sorry. So
don't pretend you don't know him.
You know, it is what it is. Like, I think at the end, Arians never really liked Antonio Brown. I don't. Yeah, let's move on. Let's talk about the NBA because I think you know, like this was just a rotten cherry on top of a very beautiful Sunday. That was a good analogy, right?
No, it was a great game. It was a great comeback game. But let's get back in the NBA. You had a question for me. Go ahead. What can I do for you?
How's lockdown going? How's cleaning your own apartment going? How's like the things without the help?
One more week to go for me. So as you know, in the previous episode, I mentioned that there was a case of COVID in my building, and my building has been in lockdown for the past week, and I've got another seven days left. Overall, I would say that it's going fine. Even though I normally don't leave the house, it is still a slight adjustment because I can't use the gym upstairs, which I normally do every day. And you can't use the pool, you can't use all the other facilities. And obviously, like you mentioned, there's no cleaning staff.
The cleaning maids.
Don't take swipes at me. Don't take swipes at me! I'm an employer. I help. I create jobs.
Sounds like you're having it tough anyway. Like, I wouldn't... I mean, we all know China's problems are very well documented. But I think...
Happy New Year.
I think, you know... I think we can all agree that very, very, very unfair that one case means an entire lockdown for a building or a city. At this point, you just like, at least from the Australian mentality, I can tell you this. The logic is living with COVID. The logic is just live your life, be responsible, be as safe as you can, but we're not going to stop you anymore. Cases are going to go up and we've done everything we can with vaccinations and boosters to help ensure that hospitalization numbers don't go up. But in terms of living your life, we're not going to intervene anymore. We're not going to step in. Just practice safe personal responsibility with regards to COVID. And I think that's what the NBA is doing too. Like right now with the asymptomatic cases, that's what's happening, where if you don't show any symptoms, you can come back onto the same as the NFL as well. You can come back to the play for your team sooner than later because you haven't shown symptoms. Which I don't have a problem anymore, because I've said this a few weeks now, like that I think they should do this even before the decision. I thought this was going to be a no-brainer considering like the product you saw in the Christmas games, some of these games were just depressing, like in terms of those marquee games of star players being out.
So what you're saying is if the Nets can't even beat the Clippers without any of their players, any NBA players, they'd be really in trouble.
All right.
Okay, I'm sorry, Cam. I'm sorry. You told me not to talk about the Nets, okay?
But yes.
You're still hurting. Yes. I understand.
Let's talk about the good teams, okay? I gotta prefer we talk about the good teams.
I looked at the Clippers lineup. I don't recognize any of the players. I think Reggie Jackson, he played for Detroit at one point.
Bledsoe, I think, scored like 30 points or something.
Why not?
It was Bledsoe and Terrence Mann, second round pick versus Kevin Durant and James Harden, two bona fide Hall of Famers.
I'm sorry. Okay, let's move on.
Let's talk about some good teams. Like, it's depressing me talking about COVID and the Nets.
The Chicago Bulls, number one in the East.
Ooh.
Top of the East.
Should we put some theme music behind this?
DeMar.
Do, 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 do.
What is that? Oh, yeah, we got to play the Bulls song. Actually, I'm not going to play that Bulls music. That triggers me.
As a Knicks fan.
Did you watch the back-to-back buzzer beater threes from DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it.
What do you make of this?
Yeah. The first one against the Pacers, I think the first one he hit. So these are some back-to-back nights, by the way. And it will behind come back wins. They'll come back wins as well. So they'll trailing
the go ahead 3-pointer.
Yes, the winning shot. If you miss it, it's overtime. If you miss it, that's the end of the game. You'll lose the game.
That's right, big time.
That's it. The first one, I gotta say, it looked like it was a broken play, and DeRozan just said, "Fuck it. I'm just going to throw it up to the basket and just see what happens." It was like a weird, like almost Dirk Nowitzki fadeaway shot where he just kind of like chucked it up.
Except he was like 30 feet away, 35 feet away.
And yeah, like he was beyond the 3-point line, which is also not DeMar territory. So I think that was a bit of luck. But I'll like to say that after watching the second buzzer beater, which is really similar fashion, and this was a three-pointer on the corner, it was a really similar kind of shot. I gotta say, maybe he's practiced that then. He's good. He's kind of good at that, like two-handed, like chuck from behind shot. Like it's a weird shot. It's not a natural shot because when you look at where he shoots two-point shots, it's prototypical, like so sweet, like so. I mean, that's how you should teach. That's how you teach shooting. Like just look at Damar shoots 2 points. That's how you shoot, right? But his three-point technique. It's a bit messy, I gotta be honest. But
I agree with you.
If he's been practicing it and it's worked back-to-back nights, I mean, so be it. He's fucking on top right now. She probably is going to be the East All-Star captain at this point. Like, given his stats and his play, he probably deserves to be the captain of the Because there's two conferences, East and West, and if you get the top votes for each conference, you become the captain and then you choose your team, whatever. At this point, based on his play, he probably should be the captain, but I think Kevin Durant's still going to be a captain because he's, you know, namesake.
But regardless, he's going to be a showcase player in the East. He's going to be a showcase player.
Oh, he's going to be a star. Yeah, he's the starter. Yeah, he's going to be a star. Well, I don't know if they'll pick him because DeMar's never really... I mean, how many All-Star appearances has he had? Like, 3, 4? Like, he's not... Like, for his age, he hasn't been to the All-Star game much. I mean, I think Kyle Lowry has been to the All-Star games more than DeMar.
I was so happy to see DeMar hit those three-pointers. I agree with you. They looked kind of odd to me because it feels like he's like double pumping both of them or chucking it. Like,
he's just...
<fade away. laughs> I was like, what is happening?
Fuck it. Fuck it. And then swish. Because you see like Nikola Vucevic next to him is like, give me the ball.
Exactly.
And then when DeMar just chucks it, he's like, what the fuck?
What the fuck's happening? Like,
yeah. I don't think that was the play.
Because I was like, why is DeMar holding onto this ball? He can't, this is like, he's out of range, right?
Definitely.
Which is not to say that he can't make the shot, but the fact that we know DeMar simply do not take three-pointers.
It looked like a broken down play, that's all I say. It went in, but it didn't look like he was in his element to shoot that. Because like you said, he was like pumping it, the clock was coming down, he shot it, and he didn't have any time to spare. Like the buzzer went off when the ball left his hands. And yeah, miraculously it went in, but you could see it was a panic shot because he was like trying to pump it to get I think it was Sabonis in the air. I forgot who it was defending him, but he was trying to get the defender in the air. He's like pumping it. The defender wouldn't bite. So then he just chucks it from behind his head. Like, I don't know, like a netball shot swish. Almost. And then just, yeah, swish, like 3 points for the win. I mean, it's amazing, but the second night was probably a bit better. Yeah.
It was still a tough
shot. Similar fashion, though.
It was like...
It was still a very tough shot. A corner shot. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He was trying to fake the guy out. He didn't bite, and the guy defended it really well. And there's two defenders, I believe.
Well, you can't defend that shot. If you chuck the ball from behind your head, and you chuck it with an... It's impossible to defend that. Like,
I'm really happy for DeMar. I don't actually know what is happening. I've been always on DeMar's side.
Mm.
But I have to say...
Me too.
Okay, shut up. Okay.
God. Thanks. Okay. You and me both.
Don't make me throw up. I'm going to throw up. And it's not because of COVID. I have to say, I've always been on DeMar's side, but I'm also going to be honest with people.
Me too.
Okay? I'm always going to be honest with people.
Me too.
I did not think DeMar was this good, like the way that he's performing this year.
Yeah. First year as well. First year with his team.
In Toronto, I love DeMar. But I also resigned to the fact that he was not good enough to take that team deep in the playoffs. My attitude was always been, I don't care. I love DeMar. He showed loyalty to the city of Toronto. Unlike you, who you denigrated DeMar. As long as I can tell, you've denigrated DeMar.
Uncalled for. That's a sniper shot right there. Was not deserving of that.
Okay. And even this summer...
That sniper right there.
Even this summer when DeMar signed that contract for $84 million 3 or 4 years, most of the writers were shocked and surprised that he signed for that price.
Yeah. people saying he would join as the mid-level exception, which is $5 million or $7 million to join the Lakers. That's what people were saying.
Now, I didn't find that price rich at all. I thought that was a good price. But at the same time, I didn't think he was going to perform at this level. So I guess my question for you is...
All-star starter.
The thing is, it's not like we're just looking at the highlights here. Like, we've watched a couple of DeMar games, right? Against the Nets as well.
Yeah, for sure. I watched the football games. Yeah.
I watched the game against the Lakers. Two of the games before against the Lakers.
Yeah.
And the fact that now you've got...
Killed them.
You've got these highlights as well, right? Has DeMar always played this well? It's just that we didn't notice because he was in San Antonio. He was in Toronto. He's not even on TV. And the fact that now he's in a big market in Chicago... That we're noticing this?
Yeah, and the winning. Well, yeah, those are number one in the East as well. Like, they've been number one. Like, DeRozan's led teams to number one conference seeds before. So it's not that it's anything new, but I think there's just a lot of excitement because, yeah, A is in Chicago. And B, it was so unexpected because Toronto for so many years were considered, like, such a strong regular season team. They were built so well. They had such a good roster. That in the regular season they could go toe-to-toe with Cleveland back in those days, you know, like obviously LeBron playoff mode is different animal, but different beast. But in the regular season, the Raptors could, you know, pretty much go against anyone back in the day. It's not that his, and this team is really good too. This team is built really well around him. Zach LaVine, like I was saying this year, that's why I'm so high on the Bulls as a team doing well. I picked in our projections, I predicted that they'll win more than the projected games that the odds makers had them at. I said they'll win more than that. And my head, I was thinking DeRozan, solid player, veteran. Caruso, scrappy player, going to be a good bench 3-and-D kind of guy. And Zach LaVine is going to elevate from, you know, playing for the Olympics, winning gold medal, training with those top players like Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, Drew Holiday, playing in the Olympics, training with those guys, that he is going to come with a superstar mentality. And instead, he's probably coming with an all-star mentality, but DeRozan is instead transformed into that superstar I thought LaVine was going to be. And LaVine's playing really well. Like, in those games, LaVine is top-notch. He's playing. He stepped up his game. But DeRozan is, like, in terms of the way he's just completed his... I don't even know if it's like development because I think he's still the same player, but the way he's just gelled with the other teammates, I think is just something that I don't think anyone expected. So I think that's why he's getting extra love that he's doing in Chicago. He's doing it unexpectedly. Like, it wasn't supposed to be this good. And And I think the Bulls are getting some back love, like kind of, yeah, like, because, you know, they made some bold moves. They traded for Nikola Vucevic. This was all in the hopes of keeping...
And they gave up a lot.
Zach LaVine. They gave up a lot to sign... They gave up a lot for that draft pick. They signed Caruso and DeRozan to big deals, like you said. The other teams, other general managers weren't expecting...
Lonzo Ball.
Trading for Lonzo Ball as well. So they made a lot of bold moves. And look, it paid off. So I think a lot of the media landscape is giving them love now. Because they weren't getting it before.
So I'm loving this. I got a little emotional, I have to say, to see the love that DeMar DeRozan is getting. And I think this is really well deserved.
It's deserving.
I felt like, you know, when he was in Toronto, I was the only one, as far as people I knew, that was like paying any attention to this guy. You know, it's like, this guy is really good.
I was paying attention.
Okay, whatever. I'm just going to ignore you. I wish I could shut off your mic.
No, I was paying attention.
Even when he was in San Antonio, like, San Antonio is such a small market, people don't pay any attention to it. The fact that now he's finally in a large market and he's getting this kind of love and the team's doing really well, this is just so well deserved. You know, finally he's getting some shine.
That's what all the DeRozan fans are like. Oh, DeRozan he's the best player ever for the Bulls. Name a player that played for the Bulls that's better than DeRozan playing.
What's that guy called? Carlos Boozer.
Kirk Heinrich. That was a 16-win team, those guys. Kirk Heinrich, Carlos Boozer, Joakim Noah.
Let's move on to another winning team, the Warriors. Now, recently, I've been watching some Instagram and just web videos of Klay in practice. God, I tell you, he's looking good. He's looking good.
I like the afro as well. I like that look. The afro and the headband, classic 80s style. 70s style, I mean.
The shot is pure. He got some dunks in.
He's got the hair growing. I like, the fro is growing. I like it.
If anything, he's dunking better than he was a couple years ago when he tried to dunk in China and fell straight on his ass. Did you see that video?
I think like that, yeah, like because he was like, not versing, but he was like showcasing with like Chinese dunkers, right? Like Chinese professional dunkers. But like it was during a dunk competition in China. And like it's nothing special. Like Chinese dunkers aren't like great, but like, you know, they can dunk.
Right. And Clay couldn't.
Like a Chinese dunk competition is them like doing a two-hand rim grazer. But yeah, Clay tried to dunk and couldn't.
At least he can get the ball in the net. Clay hit it on the rim and then like fell on his ass.
Well, Steph is on it too. Steph trying to dunk in game, clanks it off the back of the rim and shoots off into the ceiling. But he looks good.
He looks good. And I'm not saying that I'm expecting Clay to come back and be, you know, all defensive player or anything like that. But what I'm saying is the Warriors are playing so well that by having Clay back, this is just cherry on top. This is all gravy.
Mm. Yeah, just for our benefit, I put this little depth chart right here. And so like right now they're playing with G League is, who are playing really well. They're playing way above their pay grade. But you got Jordan Poole, I think it was undrafted or second round pick. Otto Porter Jr. Has been discarded from multiple teams. And Andrew Wiggins is probably still going to be a starter, but you know, he's been playing really well for the Warriors. But these guys are role players. They're not the star players. The star players we know is Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and possibly Wiseman if he ever comes back. But with Klay returning and you know, eventually Wiseman if he returns, this team, the depth, the guys that are going to be, I guess, demoted, in a bad sense, but demoted to the bench, are just going to, like all this time, this experience while they're, you know, playing replacing Klay, you know, while Klay is healing up. This is valuable game time that they're getting. This is extremely valuable for these young players to get these valuable minutes in valuable games, getting a lot of experience, a lot of like on-court experience and trust, not just from like Steph Curry and the guys playing, but also from the coach. The coach knows what they're worth and knows that, you know, with some sort of more coaching that they can readjust to their bench position. So, you know, like we'll have Jordan Poole now back up Klay Thompson. While Jordan Poole was a regular starter, now he'll be backing up Klay Thompson, which is going to be a huge plus. You got, you know, Green, Draymond Green, obviously going to still start, but you got Otto Porter, who's been starting, now coming off the bench as well. He's going to be a valuable, like, kind of player at that power forward position. And Wiseman, like, we can talk about Wiseman a bit more, but if he ever comes back, he's going to replace Kevin Looney. Kevin Looney is a former G Leaguer, second round pick, you know, championships, obviously, but, you know, he's no special player in my book. Wiseman is a second overall pick. So I just think they have injuries right now, but they're still the best team in the league. And they're just going to be, like you said, cherry on top. They're just going to keep stacking talent on talent. I saw this report where the Warriors aren't concerned about the top draft pick last year, second overall pick, James Wiseman, who suffered an ACL or some kind of knee injury, but some major knee injury. So he's been out for like 8 months to this point. It's about the time he should be getting on the court and making some progress, but he hasn't yet. It's been a bit slow progress. So you would think that, you know, a knee injury, critical knee injury to such a young player would be kind of detrimental, but the Warriors seem unconcerned. And like you said, everything, so all these assets are just cherry on tops of the already best record overall in the NBA. But I think there must be some creeping doubt, at least from the general manager, passing on LaMelo Ball, who I think at this point is probably going to make an all-star, like going to be an all-star. I don't know. What's your thoughts? Do you think the Warriors should be regretting picking Wiseman over LaMelo?
I think they were regretting it when the Warriors last year were not looking so hot. But at this point,
right.
You know, when you're winning, you're not thinking about that.
LaMelo is continued sophomore season as well. He's continued to look good. second year.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to say because both of us, I think, agreed that we were pretty down and pretty low on LaMelo's prospects, right? You actually watched a game.
I was especially. Yeah, I watched a game with the LaMelo. Yeah.
And I agreed with you, right? I didn't watch any of his games, pre-NBA games, but from your analysis, like, it made sense to me that he would not translate very well to the NBA.
Mm.
But so I think that Wiseman pick, there was some regret associated with that. But at the same time, when you're winning like you are now, I think they can still flip Wiseman. I think they can trade him. They should trade him, actually. Yeah. You know, forget the fact that he's number two. Forget the fact that he's not living up to expectations. You know, that's if you're the Sacramento Kings.
You're going to get like 50 cents on a dollar, though.
Doesn't matter. If you're Sacramento, you need $100 or $110. Wait, $100. You need $1.10 on the dollar to make your organization look good, right? If you're a championship caliber team like the Warriors, get 50 cents on Wiseman. It's okay. Win now.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's playing 0 cents right now, so you might as well get something out of him.
Get a contributor.
Bank, leverage his potential. Get the equity from his potential.
Exactly. Like, who cares what happens in 5 years' time, right?
Yeah, you want to win now.
You want to win now. Capture this moment now.
It's even more imperative because right now, let's just say Wiseman's stock price is a dollar. LaMelo's stock price is $15. You know what I mean? That's the difference where, you know, literally you're drafting second and LaMelo goes third. And by passing LaMelo, who knows, it's a crapshoot. Like we said, no one knows in a draft. I was not high on LaMelo. And I think definitely the Warriors also, looking at his Australian tape, because he played in Australia professionally before he joined the NBA, wasn't that like ecstatic on LaMelo that, you know, that they'll rather pick homegrown college product in Wiseman. So, but like, look what's happened. Like, LaMelo is playing all-star level basketball and he's worth $15 compared to what Wiseman is playing, which is basically $0 because he hasn't played much.
I think the ideal case is you include him to get Damian Lillard, but, you know, flip him for a defender, for another backup center. Just get some tall guy. That's it.
Yeah, I agree. Well, they don't need to play him. They can play Draymond in the center, really. They don't really need Wiseman, obviously.
How's Miles Leonard? What's his price right now? What can you get for 2 cents?
According to his last Twitch stream, he's getting really into, I don't know, Marxism.
Marxism?
I don't know.
I don't think that's Marxism. Another ism from Germany. Not Marx, though. It's the other guy. It's the guy with the mustache. Okay.
The short mustache, right?
The Michael Jordan mustache. Remember that phase when Michael Jordan had a Hitler mustache? What was that about?
I think I saw it in Last Dance. I can't quite remember.
No. He didn't show that footage. No, it was. Do you know what I'm talking about? Michael Jordan had a whole campaign of commercials for, I think, Hanes.
Oh, this wasn't
the underwear brand?
Not during his playing days?
No, this is much... No. God, that'd be so weird. Michael Jordan sporting a Hitler mustache during his playing days.
This is after.
No, this is after. This is... I forgot the year, but it was for, like, Hanes, the underwear company. And he had, like, a full-on Hitler mustache.
He probably is, like, so up himself that he's, like, Michael Jordan. He can pull off any look. And the look that is so frowned upon is the Hitler mustache that even Michael Jordan thinks he can pull it off.
Right. Probably. God.
That's how full of himself he is.
But the fact that the company Hanes, like, they would include that in their commercial. Like, you think that company would go like, hey, Mike, we love you. We'll give you an extra 15%, but can you, like, just remove the mustache? Or allow us to, like, Photoshop it out.
He's like, sorry, Mr. Rosenberg. I can't do that.
This is who I am. This is the real me.
deal with it.
Coming to the end of our show.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's appropriate for me to talk about the last item that you have here on our running sheet.
It's a mea culpa, sort of. Topic.
Okay. So I'll give you the floor, though. I have to remind you that this is the new year, a time for positivity.
So as our faithful listeners know, I've been quite, to say it bluntly, quite derogatory towards Magic Johnson. I've been accusing him of spreading AIDS, being a sexual deviant, a lot of bad things that are unwarranted, at least in a personal life. I think professionally, I think I'm apt. He's bad at basketball operations, and I think that's been proven. But, and of course, he's an all-time player. But I think his sexual activities in the past and me talking about him having AIDS and joking about AIDS, I think, yeah, like you said, it's New Year, and I did some soul searching. And I realized that it's probably not on. And just to clear it up, Magic Johnson never had AIDS. He tested positive for HIV. And like you said last time, being HIV positive isn't totally life-threatening. It is a treatable ailment, disease, that, at least like you said, in first world countries can be treated. And that is something that Magic Johnson, after he retired when he was HIV positive, that he wanted to address and bring to light and bring to light these issues that people are dealing with and this sort of this stigma that people with HIV positive deal with. Very different from, and also he became a spokesperson for AIDS as well. But he went on like a huge like campaign trail to try to bring these issues to light. So yeah, I do want to, you know, apologize for saying that about Magic Johnson. He didn't have AIDS. That's very serious, very, very serious disease. And he never did have it. And he's owned up to it as well. And I think the other thing that kind of made me feel guilty is when he initially retired from the NBA, like he did this big press conference. It's like one of the all-time moments. I mean, Magic Johnson owns two of the all-time press conferences. One when he declared he was HIV positive, and the other time when he,
for context,
he said he was resigning as the Lakers president. I think he owns two of those top moments of sport press conferences.
That second time when he resigned as president, this is an impromptu press conference that he like just gave in the hallways to a bunch of reporters before telling the owner.
No, the owner doesn't know.
I'm doing this.
The owner knew. He got fired. It was his way of like saving face. Anyway, the former one, which included him revealing his HIV positive and then promptly retiring, he had regrets. He came to realize later that he didn't want to retire. And when he tried to make a comeback, there were a lot of players that were scared of him. Didn't want to share the locker room with him. They didn't want to play with
him. Karl Malone.
They were afraid of him, basically, because, you know, they're afraid that he was going to spread it, which you can't just spread like that. So that was, you know, that was the times back then. There wasn't much information and, you know, transparency. It was just like, AIDS is bad. AIDS is going to kill you. And that's what people had. And I guess that's what I was saying as well. So that's why I feel guilty. And even on the Dream Team, so this is 1991, by the way, when he retired. In 1992, he still made the Dream Team because obviously America wanted to form the greatest Olympic team ever. And you can't not include Magic Johnson. He's still in his prime at that time. He's a bit up there, but he's still in his prime. He still can kick ass, HIV or not. But even in the Dream Team, there was some concerns from some teammates that, like you said, Karl Malone, where they didn't want to kind of share the space with Magic Johnson. So it just kind of made me think like he was being pariah then, and I'm continuing that sort of rhetoric, that stereotype. And yeah, so I think from now on, I'll just criticize Magic Johnson's basketball analyzing abilities, and I'll leave out the sex stuff. Oh, maybe I'll joke about his sex stuff, but I won't joke about him having AIDS anymore. So, yeah. New year, new attitude.
Because he also does not have AIDS right now.
He also never had AIDS, but I used to say he had AIDS because he didn't have sex with a condom. And even on like this article, he said that he used to have harems of women because, you know, he didn't think AIDS affected him as a heterosexual man. He didn't think he could get it, so he just had unprotected sex, like, all the time. And even when he saw a... Anyway, I won't go on. Yeah.
I'm proud of you, Kane. I'm proud of you, Kane, for coming around to this. I do agree that, you know, maybe it is time for us to retire this segment where you constantly talk about Magic Johnson's off-court.
Yeah.
off-court escapades from the 80s.
Conquest.
It's conquest. Yeah. I'm proud of you, Kane. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah, we can retire. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of out of the NBA. The only thing he's useful for is, like, tweeting box scores. Just telling who's the winner. Thanks, Magic Johnson. I couldn't have Googled that myself. Also, he's very useful for, like, knowing, like, the alphabetical order of cities.
And movies as well.
Alphabetical order of movies. Yeah, that's what he's useful for. Thanks, Magic. What could we have done without you?
Tell the listeners, what can they look forward to next week? Do you want to apologize for Jason Kidd's actions next week? Or how about Jameis Winston?
Why would I apologize? I think you... why do I need to apologize? I think you're the one that needs to apologize.
Well, why, what's there to apologize? He's a wife beater, alcoholic, terrible driver.
So you don't have to apologize for being a terrible driver. That's not something you have to apologize for.
Okay, well, you do after you beat your wife, drink a bunch of alcohol, and then ram your car into, like, a tree.
So Tiger Woods is not apologizing for cheating. He should apologize for being a terrible driver.
I'm proud of you for saying that. I have to share something. Actually, you know, we try to keep this show lighthearted. It was funny. It's definitely very funny when you bring up Magic Johnson. But this past week,
I mean, I do it for the lulz.
This past week, it got me like a little bit down because I was looking at, I forgot what I was searching for, but I came across like some, I think I was searching for some Michael Jackson stuff. And I came across some Freddie Mercury, the guy, the lead singer from Queen, like some of his like sort of like his recordings like behind in the studio recording.
And he actually had AIDS, right? Just to confirm.
He died from
it. He actually caught AIDS, yeah.
He was a homosexual. He caught AIDS.
Yeah.
Obviously died, caught it during the AIDS pandemic in the 80s. So along with many other people that I don't remember who died from AIDS. But obviously, you know, Queen being a great band, him dying from AIDS is not something that I necessarily think about. For whatever reason, just because we were talking about it in a previous show, I was like, oh, yeah, this guy is no longer here because of the disease, right? And just what a shame.
Very, very deadly disease.
Yeah, and what a shame. What a shame that we don't have this figure. Then I thought about how Kane, you're such a terrible person. so harsh.
Joking about AIDS, yeah. Nah, no, I realize I'm wrong.
The bit is funny. I think, you know, we try to keep this show lighthearted and irrelevant.
Yeah, well, I'll find a new bit. I think because of DeMar's success and my erroneous statements on Magic Johnson, I think those bits are officially retired. I will no longer talk about, like you said, Magic Johnson's off-court antics, conquest, and DeRozan's place in Air Canada Centre. Whatever it's called.
Yeah, it's up in the rafters, okay? Not in
whatever
the bathroom.
The fuck that stadium's called.
That's all the show we have this week. Please, start the new year with safety in mind. Get your two shots, get your boosters, two boosters if necessary, and enjoy the basketball. Thank you.
Amen. See ya.
See ya.
to Torres on the beat, boys.
Thank you for listening to Your NBA Podcast with David and Kane. If you enjoyed our show, please tweet us at Your NBA Podcast.